I'm going to take this off because I get nervous standing in front of a mic, and I do better when I move around. And I moved the AMBO up a little. Can everybody see the PowerPoint okay? No? Yes? Okay. All right. Boy, some great talks this morning. I just keep thinking the next time I'm at home and I'm giving my... I do everything around here. I do the cooking, the cleaning, the shopping, the feed the animals, pay the bills, contact everyone. You know, I run this place, and I can hear Jesus behind me going, oh yeah, well, I'm the rest, the servant, the king, the redeemer, the law, the word of God, and your personal Lord and Savior. Would you like to add anything on to that? Guy has a lot of work to do. I just always thought, Jesus, Son of God. So, Jesus, law of the Lord and word of God. That's the talk I've been assigned. And I'm kind of basing it, the scripture Jesus gave me was Hebrews 3:1. Therefore, sharing in a heavenly calling, reflect on Jesus. And it's such a deep topic. There's so many resources that God makes available to us. But of course, knowing me, I had to question God. Well, you know, why did I get the law of the Lord talk? Because some of the other ones, would have been my first choice. Why this one, Lord? And he answered me. He said, well, you know law. I'm like, okay, yeah, you're right, I do. I majored in legal procedures in college. It was actually a new degree. And for 15 years, I worked in the legal field as a legal assistant. So I do, I know law. I know state law, federal law, municipal law, tax law, real estate law, statutes, deadlines. You have 30 days to file this, 15 to respond to that, 10 to notify this. If you don't, you lost your case. It is very stressful. And the Gilbert Public School System has quite an extensive law that I, having raised three teenage sons, I know that law very well. So, I know law. I know law. And I kind of associate law with post-traumatic stress disorder, that every time I go to pick up my phone, the caller ID is going to say Gilbert Public Schools or Gilbert Police Department. It's just... you know, that's not... it's a fear, but it's a worldly fear. There's a Holy Spirit kind of fear that where you have reverence and awe and love for your Lord. You don't want to disobey him. You want to please him. Mine is more of a worldly kind of fear, like the fear of failing or being condemned. So this was a good topic for me to do because it's helped me realize that Jesus, the law of the Lord, is not condemning. The Israelites, they took the law very seriously as well. On the night before Joshua, who was the successor to Moses, he was going to cross over to the promised land. And he spoke to God and said, or God spoke to him, God spoke to Joshua and said, above all, be firm and steadfast, taking care to observe the entire law which my servant Moses enjoined on you. Do not swerve from it either to the right or to the left, that you may succeed wherever you go. Keep this book of the law on your lips, recite it day by day and by night, that you may observe carefully all that is written in it. Then you will successfully attain your goal. I command you, be firm and steadfast. Do not fear nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. The law of the Old Testament was a preparation for the gospel and the new law of the Lord. It was a law that was written on stone tablets. St. Augustine said, God wrote on the tablets of the law what men did not read in their hearts. The New Testament changes all that. When Jesus, law of the Lord, humbled himself to enter our world, his birth turned the written law into a spoken word, the word of God. Jesus. he fulfilled the law. He was blameless, and because of this, he was able to lay down his life for us while we were still sinners. We are no longer condemned. The law is now God himself spoken into our minds and hearts. The Catechism of the Catholic Church states, the new law, or the law of the gospel, is the perfection here on earth of the divine law, natural and revealed. It is the work of Christ and is expressed particularly in the Sermon on the Mount. It is also the work of the Holy Spirit, and through him it becomes the interior law of charity. I will establish a new covenant with the house of Israel. I will put my laws into their minds and write them on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. The Catechism of the Catholic Church also states, the new law is called a law of love because it makes us act out of the love infused by the Holy Spirit rather than from fear. A law of grace because it confers the strength of grace to act by means of faith and the sacraments. The law of the Lord is relationship. Jesus is relationship, and he calls us to relationship. And there is nothing with Jesus if there is no relationship. How do we stay close to that? Not just keep the law, but keep the relationship. When asked what the greatest commandment was, Jesus answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Who is my neighbor? Christ is my neighbor. Christ is my husband, my boss, my sister, my brother, my friend, my foe, my child, my mother, my father, my church, my community. Wow. There are 613 commandments in the Old Testament. It seems burdensome. Jesus names two as being the only important ones. In the beginning of 2012, in the United States alone, 40,000 new laws were enacted. You probably don't even know that. 40,000. Can you imagine? The only laws we were required to follow were these two commandments: love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. And what if everyone did it? We'd have heaven on earth. All Jesus wants from us is to let him love us. That's it. He's done the work. He's fought the battle and won the fight. He has claimed us for his own, and he just wants to delight in us. There's no more joy we can give him than to call out to him, like Karen said this morning, Jesus, to look for him, yearn for him, cling to him, and remain in his presence. Have you ever gone in the morning to wake your child or a child up from a nap, or in the morning and you go into their room and they're waiting for you in the crib? Yeah! My mom's here, and we are going to have a great day. You would think God himself or the Pope walked in. No expectations. They just want to be with you all day. And that's how we're called to greet Jesus. And when we greet him in the morning, so many of you said, before I get out of bed, you know, I say this to the Lord, I give him my to-do list or this. Well, that's what he looks like on the other side, except he's a little boy in the crib going, yeah, Julie's here. We're going to spend the day together. And when we forget about him during the day, it's kind of like, you know, you'd never say to your child, okay, now I've got some things to get done. I'm going to run a couple errands, do a load of laundry, and stop at the grocery store. You stay in your crib, and then when I get back, we'll have some mommy time. No, you... Per the law, you'd probably get arrested by child social services. You take the child with you, and it's the same with God. He wants to go with us. He doesn't care what we're going to do. He wants to be there. So the question today is, How do we love Jesus with all our heart, all our soul, all our strength, all the time? Not just during our prayer time. Because when we're not focused on Jesus, we're focused on something else. Mary pondered all of these things in her heart. To ponder means to consider something deeply and thoroughly, to meditate, reflect on, ruminate, contemplate, dwell. As women, we know how to ponder and reflect. We actually do it pretty well. But it often turns into worrying rather than pondering. We are experts at worry. We go through our day with a heart full of concern, anxiety, and worry about a child or a spouse or money or schedules or a job. Why is that? Because unlike Mary, who was born without original sin and was thus protected from temptation by Satan, we as women in the world are particularly susceptible to being attacked by Satan, just as he aimed for Eve in the garden. Satan knows that as women, we worry. We become filled with anxiety when we can't solve it or fix it. Before, my kids even finished telling me what's going on, I've solved it or tried to fix it. You know, I just need to bite my tongue and let them finish. Worry always centers on the future or the past. And where is God? Here and now. When we worry, we exclude God from our hearts and we don't love him with all our hearts, souls, and strength. When we choose to take our gaze off Jesus and stop pondering and meditating on his words and his love for us, we stress out. We've all been there when we just lose it. I, in particular, get very stressed out, and it always seems to happen at the grocery store. I have PTSD with the grocery store, too. One time I was so stressed out, I loaded all my groceries in the back of the wrong Toyota Previa. I open the door, I'm like, oh, someone stole the car seats. Can you believe someone would steal my car seats? They don't take the car, but they take the car seats? Another time, I grabbed my cordless phone from the kitchen sink, threw it in my purse, went to the grocery store, was getting so pissed off in the vegetable section, I couldn't get service in the store. Lady's looking at me, and I'm like, oh, I'm using my phone from home. And the last time, I avoid grocery stores. Now I make Deb or the boys go. The last time I was with my mom, who had two broken arms, and my father-in-law, who was using one of those scooters, you know, because he had a broken ankle. And you like put your knee on there and you wheel it around. So I've got them in the car, got the groceries in the car, and I'm trying to get that darn scooter in the back of the Highlander. And I know it fits because I've been putting it in for the last week, but I can't figure out how I got it in the time before to make it fit again. Ladies walking by me. Look at her. Whatever, lady, you have no idea what I'm going through. I look back at what I'm doing. I'm trying to put the shopping cart in the car instead of the scooter. Lady's looking at me like, you're ripping the shopping cart off. I've heard about people like you. We're going to see it in your front yard next week, you tacky white trash person. Okay. So, I don't answer the phone anymore in case you ever call my house because we've got the stress going out about that. So I don't go to the grocery store, so you'll never see me there. But we've all been there. Stress. Next slide. Stress And this is serious. Stress isn't only a joy stealer. The way we respond to stress can be sin. Stress stands in direct opposition to what Jesus tenderly, directly commands us. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. 220 times in the New Testament, the word pistuo is used. It's a Greek word. It's most often translated as belief, but pistuo ultimately means to put one's faith in, to trust. So belief is a verb. It's something that you do. That's our daily work, the work that God asks of us, to trust him, to trust in the wisdom of this moment, to trust in now. And trust is work. So to choose stress over trust is an act of disbelief. One image that helps me that I use every day in my daily life, I call it the circle of influence, circle of concern, or often God's lap. This is God's lap, and this is where I need to stay, in his presence, looking on him. This outer circle is a circle of concern. This is where the grocery store is and the school and all those other things. If we are not in the presence of Jesus, we are in the presence of the world. We cannot step outside this circle. That's where God is. It's the here and now. Not the future, not the past. As soon as we are not thinking of him, we're lost. Never leave the presence of Jesus. Feed on his sacraments. Feed on his word. Feed on his law. Feed on the people he has put in your life and asked you to love. Just as a mother never lets that child out of her sight, she has eyes in the back of her head and the side of her ears. She knows, oh, wait a minute, can't find so-and-so. Got to check. Okay, now what were you saying? If we're not in the presence of Jesus, we're in the presence of the world, and we are not of this world. Remember that this is our temporary home. Jesus knew that when he walked the earth. That was why he was so excited to get home and see his Father. Do we? Or are we too busy getting settled in and making ourselves comfortable this side of heaven? When we stay in the circle of God's lap, we learn to rest and reflect on Jesus. We let Jesus do the work and defeat our enemies. Okay, I want to unveil Jesus a little bit, since that's our theme. And I want to look at three things that he did in order that for us to gaze on him and reflect on him and imitate him to become more like him. Jesus had a relationship with his Father. He was a man of prayer, and he was thankful. Relationship. The beauty of Christ's life was not just his love for his fellow man, even though they judged and condemned and scorned him, but his conscious relationship with his Father. He focused on God. He was obedient to his Father. He wanted to please him and do his will. The new law, remember, the law of the Lord, Jesus, is a law based on relationship, not fear and condemnation. If you have a friend, and I'm sure everyone out there has at least a couple of these, the better you know her, the more quickly you know what would be her choice in any practical matter, even when she has not yet told you her mind. Do you agree with that? Out at the store, oh, I know so-and-so, like, oh, she would like that. I have a friend that knows me so well. Her name is Marge. How well she knows me. 2 years ago, I had Dub's family out for Thanksgiving. We alternate, and every other year, I host Thanksgiving at my house. So I have 22 relatives, and they all come, and they stay at my house, and I make Thanksgiving dinner, and everyone stays. Adults get beds, kids get floor. We have a lot of fun. So it was Thanksgiving evening. We had had our dinner. Plates were cleared on the sink. We hadn't really put anything away yet. We were playing charades. We always do this thing where we you put your place card from the dinner table in a bag, and then we pull names, and you have to imitate that person, and we all guess who it is. It's actually kind of fun. So we're sitting around laughing, and Thanksgiving dinner, all of a sudden, door opens, knock, knock, door opens. Marge is here. Oh, hi, Marge. What are you doing? It's Thanksgiving evening. I know you, Julie. You're going to throw away that turkey carcass with all that good meat on it. And I'm not going to let you waste it. So she proceeded in front of my 22 relatives, who were like this, to pick my turkey carcass to death, put it in a crock pot, cut up some vegetables, soup, little noodles, broth, had a quick glass of wine, walked out the door. My brother-in-law looked at me and said, "Does she cure cancer on Fridays?" And the next morning, I had soup for 22 people. But she knew me. She was darn right. I was going to take that turkey carcass. I don't want to deal with it. Put it in a plastic bag, throw it out. I don't save things. Marge knows that. There are no leftovers in the sitting house. She sometimes doesn't go to the grocery store. She just comes to my house and says, "Okay, what are you throwing out?" But that's the kind of into me see, like Janelle talked about. When we know Jesus that well, then we know his will and his voice. We don't have to go through this long discernment process. We know him. We recognize him. He's with us all the time. I mean, we are here to do God's will. That's the purpose of our lives. We must be obedient, prompt, and humble. We must empty ourselves of our own ideas. We must wait for the voice of God to settle things and not be determined on our own choice. Put yourself in God's hands and you will get where God wants you to go. The key to growing in our trust for the Lord is to meditate upon him day and night. Prayer. Jesus, his life was deeply rooted in prayer. He was obedient to his Father. He often went alone to pray. He drew that strength from the relationship of his Father. I feel like I'm preaching to the choir. There's such women of prayer here. When our life is rooted in prayer, we are like the tree spoken of in Psalm 1. Next slide. Happy is she who delights in the law of the Lord and meditates on his law day and night. She is like a tree planted near running water that yields its fruit in due season and whose leaves never fade. Jesus is in love with us. He waits for us each morning to enter into his presence. He thinks about us constantly, like a child who is always clinging to his mama. He knows us intimately. He knows what you're going to do with that turkey carcass. He knows what you're thinking right now. Why aren't we constantly thinking about him? I want to be that fruitful tree for Jesus. I want to be that child that greets him in the morning and cries out for his presence all day. I want to make his life in heaven peaceful. Why? Because that's all he asks of us, is to delight in him and surrender to him. I'm going to share with you a little practice that I do that helps me stay in the circle of God's lap. I call it alphabet praise. This is my alphabet praise, and I've got a word that's associated with each letter of the alphabet. And I usually do this when I'm driving, because usually I find the time I do my worrying is in the car. And I do this little, I don't know if you'd call it a game or something, but I take the first letter of each word that I see. So if I see speed limit, I'll say, "Savior, lover of my soul." Driving down into Living Water Retreat Center, "Lover of my soul, wonderful, ruler of heaven, compassionate one." Going down the freeway, reading the exit signs, you know, McGuireville, merciful, compassionate one. I go to City of the Lord for gatherings. Compassionate one, omnipotent truth, Yahweh. I turn down Elliot, everlasting. I turned down Palmcraft, Prince of Peace. You get so in, I got so into it on the way up here. I thought there was like an eject button in my car, and I was just so full of joy. It constantly keeps me thinking of him. I drive by the stores, Big Lots, Bright Morning Star, Lover My Soul, Kohl's, King of Kings, helps me stay in the presence of God, not in the presence of the world. I do have to warn you, though, a couple of times I've gone a couple miles past my spot because I get so into no turn on red, never leaves me, truth, omnipotent, ruler of heaven. Oops, wait, I was supposed to be back there. So anyway, it's called Alphabet Praise, and I have a handout for you at the end of the talk. I've put on one side of this paper lots of different words. Circle the one that speaks to you, because everyone's alphabet praise is going to be different. There might even be one that's not on there, but circle one that speaks to you, and then you just turn it over. It says A through Z on the back, and you write your own alphabet praise. And I challenge you to bring it back next year. I mean, wouldn't it be great at a prayer meeting to let's just all recite together our alphabet praise, A to Z, and it'll all be different and just a joyful shout out to the Lord. And it's just a great way to stay in the presence of the Lord. You'll find that it really brings a sense of peace and joy, and you don't worry in the car. The rosary. I mean, you all know so many wonderful prayer practices. The rosary is another great way to meditate on the Word of God or be focused on Him, His life, praying in tongues. A lot of times at night when I wake up at 3 a.m, I'll say my rosary, but I'm still awake. So then I do this thing on my rosary that I call praise, thanks, sorrow, help, I like you because. And I do on Our Father in my first decade, I just do 10 things I praise Him for. Praise you for your love. I praise you for your greatness. I praise you for your might. Another Our Father, 10 things of thanks. Thank you for my family. Thank you for my home. Thank you for my husband's job. Thank you for my cute dog. Thank you for that new top I got yesterday. Another Our Father, sorrow. I'm sorry I spoke harshly to Dub. I'm sorry I meant to go to confession and I blew it off. I'm sorry I gave that woman in the store a dirty look. The next decade, help, Our Father, 10 helps. Please help me with my relationship with so-and-so. Please help me to grow to love you more. Please help my mom who's ailing. And the last one is my favorite, I like you because. I say in Our Father, and I like you because is what we do at our dinner table on birthdays. Everyone goes around and says, well, I like John because. So I do an I like you because to Jesus. I like you because you know how many hairs I have on my head. I like you because you created so many different flowers. I like you because you were nice to your mom. I like you because you made more wine when they ran out at the wedding feast. I like you because you love me for me. Sometimes I could do the whole 5 decades, I like you because, or the whole 5 on thanks, but that's my little thing is praise, thanks, sorrow, help, I like you because. Next slide. Meditating on the Word of God is kind of like letting the seed germinate in the soil. Jesus often used parables about seeds and sowing. What we are in the parables is the soil. I always thought for some reason that I was the seed and that I needed to bear fruit in my life depending on where I got dropped in the parable. But it's the seed that dies in the darkness and silence of the soil of our hearts is none of our own doing. The life in us is not our action, but is something beyond the reach of our human created action, something spiritually above us, something divine. That seed is going to be fruitful. It has the promise of life in it. We're just the soil. And as the soil, I'm only called to be humble, to be in the dark, and allow the seed to die and bear fruit. The seed that falls into us is the divine life of the kingdom of heaven. It is the seed of the Holy Spirit. Seed grows depending on the soil. Everywhere the seed is fruitful and alive, it is the soil that is helpful or harmful to it, that enables it to produce its own natural fruit or hinder it from becoming what it might. So the essential business of soul is prayer. Prayer always. Not what I do matters, nor so much how fast my virtues are cultivated, nor my sins gradually laid aside. All the great saints will tell you that the great work of their souls was achieved in prayer, while they were not thinking about self at all. The soul will grow best in prayer when it is thinking not of self, but of God. Its gaze should be riveted on God's wonderful goodness, God's haunting mercy, God's untiring forgiveness, God and God alone. It's not about me. Did anyone ever read that book by Rick Warren, Purpose Driven Life? Someone gave it to me, and his church actually used to be right next door to us in California. So I got the book, and I will never forget opening up. First words, first chapter, first page. It's not about you. I put the book down for 2 weeks. I couldn't get past that. I was just, you know, that was many years ago, but it's so true. It's not about me. I can do nothing of myself. Lastly, Jesus was thankful. Most importantly, Jesus was thankful. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was handed over, took bread, and after he had given thanks, broke it and said, "This is my body that is for you." Jesus gives thanks, knowing he is about to face the driving hammer and iron piercing through his flesh, facing the abandonment of God his Father, and he offers thanksgiving. For even that which will break him and crush him and wound him will yield a bounty of joy. Again, in chapter 11 of Matthew's gospel, Jesus is faced with the failure of his mighty deeds to convert many of the towns, and the wise and learned scribes and Pharisees are doubting his miracles. They have rejected his preaching and the significance of his deeds. So what does Jesus do in the face of apparent failure? Get discouraged? I'm out of here. Forget this. Nope. He gives thanks. At that time, precisely at the time when it looks like they've rejected him, Jesus said in reply, "I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for although you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, you have revealed them to the childlike." Jesus then took the loaves and fishes, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. Jesus counted the too few loaves and the not enough fishes. Are you at a point in your life where there's not enough? Not enough time, money, energy, love, patience, food, whatever? Jesus gave thanks. Those two words, the bridge words there in the middle, the crossing over that took the not enough and made it enough. Jesus embraces his not enough. He gives thanks, and there is more than enough. Thanks always precedes a miracle. St. John of Avila said one act of thanksgiving when things go wrong with us is worth 1,000 thanks when things are agreeable to our inclinations. There's a book written by a lady named Anne Voskamp called 1,000 Gifts. Has anyone heard of it? I highly recommend it. You can get it on Amazon for like $11. 1,000 Gifts, lives in Canada on a farm. She's in a Mennonite community. She has 6 kids that she homeschools. And she dares herself to write down 1,000 gifts. And this act of naming gifts, of naming grace moments, kind of moves you beyond the shopping list variety of prayer and into the other side of prayer, the interior of the throne room, the inner walls of God's powerful, love-filled heart. You know, the discipline of counting gifts is as old as God's people themselves. The seriously devout Jews of today still give thanks to God 100 times a day. So this woman started writing these gifts down, and there, if you have a smartphone, there's a free app you can download on your phone called 1,000 Gifts. I think I'm up to like 50. But it gets you in this mode of seeing things differently, seeing things as a gift, fresh laundry, food in my pantry, a car in my garage, a child that comes in to say goodbye before they leave for school, a rose that bloomed in the front yard. You almost become like a hunter because you want to write down the gifts. Julian of Norwich said that the highest form of prayer is to the goodness of God. She said that thinking upon his goodness pleases him most and brings the most profit to our soul. Making a list of 1,000 gifts is thinking on God's goodness, and this pleases him. So it's another challenge I give you. When you come back next year with your alphabet praise, bring a notebook. Even if you've only gotten to 25 or 100 or 50 or 300. And let's lay our gifts at the altar at our prayer meeting and thank God and receive the miracles he'll give us. Prayer, to have any power to change anything, must first speak thanks. In everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, Philippians 4:6. The practice of giving thanks is the way we practice the presence of God. Stay present to his presence, and it is always a practice of the eyes. We don't have to change what we see, only the way we see it. In conclusion, blessed is she who delights in Jesus, who day and night meditates upon him. How do we do that? By being present in the moment, by being grateful, by trusting, by resting, by abiding, by letting our roots go deep into living waters. And when we find ourselves groping along, famished for more, we can choose. When we are despairing, we can choose as the Israelite women who gathered manna. For 40 long years, God's people daily eat manna, a substance whose name literally means, what is it? Hungry, they chose to gather up that which is baffling. They fill on that which has no meaning. For more than 14,000 days, they take their daily nourishment from that which they don't understand. They eat the mystery. Jean-Pierre de Caussade, there remains one single duty. It is to keep one's gaze fixed on Jesus and to be constantly listening so as to understand and hear and immediately obey his will. Jesus is the law of the Lord and the word of God. He is a mystery that we will never fully understand until we meet him face to face in the throne room. Until then, may we gaze on him, meditate on his love for us, and trust him more each day. Thank you.